I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you are a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Craig Cody. Craig is a certified tax coach, certified public accountant, business owner, and former New York City police officer with 17 years experience on the force. In addition to being a certified public accountant for the past 15 years, he's also a certified tax coach. As a certified tax coach, Craig belongs to a select group of tax practitioners throughout the country who undergo extensive training and continued education on various tax planning techniques and strategies to become as well as remain certified. With this organization, Craig has co-authored an Amazon bestseller book, Secrets of a Tax-Free Life. Craig, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me today.
Craig, you have a really interesting background. Why did you start your business?
Because I always had a love for numbers. And when I first went to school, I was an economics major. And in the police department, you know, you have a retirement at some point, and it's was something I decided along the way that, you know, I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to work for myself.
So when you first retired, did you start the business right away?
I actually formed the company, but I worked for a firm for a number of years that did a lot of international tax work. So yeah, if you looked up my company, it was formed probably in 2000, 2001 when I left the police department, but I had a full-time job for a number of years at a real CPA firm.
And what was the strategy behind that?
The strategy was I wanted to be in control of my own destiny. When I was in the police department, you basically, because you have a pension, you're kind of locked in. You don't have a lot of control over your own destiny. And once you're in for so many years, you just have to kind of hang in there. So when I got out, you know, eventually I knew, okay, I want to have my own business where, you know, I make the rules, I make the decisions, you know, I control what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And how did you determine what niche to focus on as you launched your business?
It kind of came by accident. I really wanted to focus on the estate planning area, but I guess about 10, 15 years ago, they changed the rules and they upped the estate exemption. So there was not a whole lot of business in that area. So what happened basically was in reviewing some plans that we had done for some people on the estate side, we realized we were saving them significant money on the tax side. And that led us to get involved in the Certified Tax Coach program and focusing on tax planning and saving clients, keeping more of what they make.
Mm. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about how the change in the estate tax law impacted you kind of unexpectedly and how you felt about that when it happened.
Well, you know, my goal was to, when I went out on my own, to focus on estate planning, save people. You know, the estate tax was, you know, 50% over a certain amount, over like, I think it was $1 million at the time. And then it went up to around $3.5 million. So there were a lot of people with estates valued over $1 million, but there weren't that many people with estates valued over $3.5 million, I think it was.
Right, which means that your marketplace changed kind of instantly.
It shrunk dramatically. So, you know, just tried to figure out, okay, how can we do this differently? And it just, in, I guess it was probably 1 year right around tax season when we were doing some tax work for a client, and we realized, oh, geez, because of the planning we did on the estate side, this person's actually saving a lot of money every year on the tax side.
So what recommendations do you have for business owners when their marketplace changes drastically due to circumstances that are beyond their control?
I think it's the same thing that goes for business in general. You always have to be able to adapt and, you know, adapt rapidly to changes that are always going to happen, whether it's technology. I mean, if you look at the tax prep business, that may be gone in another 5 years based on artificial intelligence. So if you're in a tax prep business and you're not planning for something different now, you're going to be in trouble in a few years.
Mm. What are some of the mistakes that business owners make with regard to changing marketplaces?
They kind of bury their heads in the sand, and they're not looking at the big picture and what's going to happen in the future. I mean, think of, you know, truck drivers. You know, they say 5 or 10 years, they're all going to be driverless trucks. So if you're a truck driver, you better be looking for something else to do in 5 or 10 years. If you're a business owner, the landscape is constantly going to be changing, and you need to be figuring out other ways to generate your money. And it could be niching down into something a little bit deeper, like in my case. So it's not taxes, but you know what? AI and tax planning, probably never going to happen.
Mm. And also, you made a pretty major change when you went from being part of the New York City police force to being an accountant.
Yes, that was obviously a huge change. You know, when I first made the change, I went from, by day I was making paper copies, and by night I was in the police department supervising 75 people. So that was a huge change. But, you know, I learned a lot of things in the police department. I learned how to communicate with people, and that really has helped, you know, tremendously. You know, I had to learn to communicate with people across all different socioeconomic fields, you know, in the police department, which now allows me to communicate better with different people when I'm doing accounting work.
So given the experiences that you've had being part of a big organization as a police officer, being part of a smaller organization initially in your career as an accountant, and now being solo as an accountant, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that those who are solo face?
It's all about cash flow. Somebody mentioned that to me a number of years ago, and it's very true. When you're on your own, okay, you're the guy that's paying all the bills. You're the guy that's paying your own salary. So you have to make the money happen. If you're working for somebody else, you might have a bad day or a bad week. In all likelihood, you're still going to get paid. When you're working for yourself, that's not always the case.
Correct. So what advice do you have for solopreneurs to minimize those kinds of cash flow disruptions?
Well, recurring revenue is a big thing, systematizing it. So when you work with us, you're on a monthly flat fee plan, and it's an automatic ACH or credit card the first of every month. So I don't have to worry about collections. The money's coming in the beginning of every month. And it, you know, takes that whole part of it out of the equation. I'm not going after chasing clients to get paid. I'm not looking for checks. It happens automatically.
At what point in the development of your business did you come up with this particular revenue model?
That came up after the real estate crash of like 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. So we had to refocus everything we were doing. And we started that in about 2010. And that was, you know, if you're working with us, it's like a condition to work with us. This is the way we operate.
Right. How hard was it to institute that kind of change and tell either existing clients or new clients that if you want to work with us, this is the model you're going to follow?
It was all head trash. I never had a problem with a client. It was all in my head, you know. Now, my clients aren't going to do that. You know, my wife for years used to say, you should take credit card payments. And I'd say, my clients aren't going to pay me by credit card. I still hear about that today. We've never lost a client because of the fact that we get paid on a monthly basis, the first of the month via ACH or credit card.
Now, for other kinds of solopreneur service businesses, of which there are many, and it's a growing sector, What advice would you offer about how to make that transition to move your business from a transactional model where you're chasing clients to get paid to a recurring revenue model where you're getting paid on the first of the month by credit card?
Figure out a way to do it, whether it's getting involved in a mastermind group of your peers or maybe people that aren't your peers. And because it's all head trash. If you're providing an ongoing service, there's no reason you should not be able to do that.
Now, what about people like, you know, an attorney that doesn't work with the same clients for year in and year out? Maybe the clients are episodic.
That's obviously a little bit tougher, but there are plenty of people out there that, you know, maybe those clients are on, you know, a small monthly retainer, a very small monthly retainer. And if you're going to work with us, you know, you're paying me, I'm just picking a number here, $50 a month.
Right.
And then we will pick up the phone when you call us, and then it's going to be X, Y, or Z, you know, down the road. But I think it's all, most of us, it's head trash. It's, you know, if you provide a service that your clients work and you want that extra 25, 50, whatever it is a month, I think your clients will probably pay for it if you are delivering that valuable service.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of questions do you think solopreneur business owners should be asking themselves so they can figure out where the opportunities are for recurring revenue?
What can I monetize that's recurring? What is it that I'm providing clients? You know, whether it's access to me, that I'm actually going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call you back within 8 or 12 hours, you know, figure out a way, you know, talk with your peers, because, you know, it's much easier to learn from what other people have done and what other mistakes people have made than figuring it all out, you know, reinventing the wheel yourself.
Right. So how did you learn this particular business strategy?
I was part of a mastermind group. Okay. And, I got beat up pretty bad at a meeting once because I wasn't taking credit cards. And it was actually out in San Diego. And I actually signed up with a credit card company while I was at the airport. So peer pressure. I thought, you know, just like everyone else thinks, no, my clients won't do that, or I can't do that. You know, it's all, I've learned most of our issues are usually just head trash, not reality.
And what has the result been for you now that you've changed your business model?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, our billing happens the first of every month, you know, so we have a predictable stream of revenue that allows us to run our business, hire people, do what we need to do. I'm not worried about, am I getting paid? You know, you could get paid the first of the month, you get paid the 30th of the month. It makes a big difference.
Right. And is there any difference in the kinds of services you're providing to your clients?
No, there is no difference as far as the service I'm providing, but now it's like, okay, if you want to work with me, this is the way we operate. This is the way we do things. If you want to work with us, this is our billing policy.
And who's your ideal client?
Our ideal client is a business owner making money that's paying taxes. We look to be able to save them the first year about $20,000 a year in taxes. So somebody that's making money.
Mm-hmm. And what size business do they need to be?
You know what? They could be a sole practitioner making, you know, $150,000 a year to, you know, a larger organization making, you know, $20 million a year. Our clients kind of run the gamut and they're all over the country. Thank God for the internet. But we work, the first thing, in order to become a client of ours, the first thing we have to do is a tax plan. And we sit down via Skype or Zoom and we do an analysis of their tax returns. And we tell them how much we expect to save them every year. They pay us for that, a fee for that. June will be 7 years we've been doing it this way. Our fee is fully 100% refundable if they're not happy, and no one has ever asked for their money back because it's always instant gratification.
Yeah, no, it's pretty remarkable. Craig, whom do you know personally who has been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Oh, God. You know, that was a tough one to think of because there's so many out there. But I think of a guy named Jamie J that runs Slapshot Studios. He's out in Missouri. And the guy has such a humbling story. And he now has, you know, a successful studio. He produces, you know, podcasts. He does a lot of media stuff. And the guy, you know, at one point, you know, in his young adult life, his family was homeless.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job. I know Jamie. He's a good friend of mine. So
Jamie's amazing.
Yes, he really is. And what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
Well, I'm wrapping up my latest book, okay? which is it's a new version of the 10 most expensive tax mistakes that cost business owners thousands, and it's updated for the new tax code. So we'll be coming out with that in the next month or so. And we're just going to continue to grow our business and save our clients lots of money.
Sounds great. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
So we're actually going to offer your listeners a copy of our book, The 10 Most Expensive Tax Mistakes. And they can go to our website at www.craigcodyandcompany.com/smashingtheplateau. And they can request a free copy of the book. Otherwise, it's 516-869-4051.
Sounds great. Craig, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been CPA Craig Cody. Thank you again, Craig, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field, but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you to get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.